News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at nearly 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on your Monday morning.
Dan, we actually got quite a few texts from retirees telling us whether or not they still hate Mondays, like that one study said they do.
We got to get into that.
We'll have to roll into that some this hour. Right now, though, time to talk with friend of the station and just a good dude, great people over there at Allegri Farm Market in Daphne, and Vince Allegri on with us for What's on the Farm this week. Hey, Vince, how's it going?
It's going great. How y'all doing today?
We're good. We're really good. I just wanted, before we get into what's on the farm this week, looking like we could get a bunch of rain later this week if that system kind of moves through Florida and then into our area. It's been kind of, for July, it's been a bit dry, even though we've already picked up a lot of rain this month. Is that kind of how it's looking out there at Allegri Farm Market?
Yeah, we run irrigation yesterday until about 8 o'clock by side on this last planting of our spring sweet corn, and we started picking it this morning.
Mm. Yeah, and that sweet corn, I think I told you last week, but showed up with a big bag of that for the family cookout for July 4th, and people were just amazed.
You were tackled.
Like, what does he do to this corn to make it taste so good?
I know.
But
you should have taken credit.
I should have. I grew that. But no, it was from Allegri Farm Market, and I know you guys are harvesting right now. You said your last planting of spring sweet corn, but also talk a little bit about the potatoes you got going on.
Yeah, we're still grading some new red potatoes, and we've got some Yukon Golds I want to start grading today.
That's great. And peaches, how are those looking? Peas and butter beans, I know we've been talking about those quite a bit.
Peas are still in abundance. We're shelling every day as demand needs. And as far as the peaches, you can't beat a Chilton County peach, and they're still right in the middle of their season.
Yeah, it's so juicy, those peaches you get from Chilton County. Also, I'm seeing here the Athena cantaloupe. These are Amish grown in Kentucky. Are those sweeter than your average cantaloupe? Or tell me about those.
I wouldn't say they're sweeter, because we grow a very good cantaloupe here too. But we've had very good luck with cantaloupes this year mm-hmm. as far as taste. And these just extend the season for us. And they do a really good job.
That's great. I'm going to have to grab some of those. And coming to the end of harvesting your spring crops, I guess you're getting ready for fall here before long.
Oh, yeah, we've already started getting ground ready. It's time to start thinking about what we're going to plant for the fall, which pretty much will duplicate everything in spring other than a few extra winter crops we put in.
I can't wait for that. Going to be putting a lot of that on the grill for football, that's for sure. Let folks know where Allegri Farm Market is located and also your hours.
Okay. We're open from 8 to 6, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 on Sunday. We're at 181 and 64 in Daphne. We're about few miles south of I-65. I tell you what, I haven't got my story together. we're just south of I-10, about 4 miles.
Hey, it's Monday, Vince. No one has it together on a Monday morning. We appreciate you.
Thinking about where I have to head today and stuff like that instead of what I'm talking about.
No doubt. Well, we appreciate your time this morning. I can't wait to get over to Allegri Farm Market in Daphne as soon as I cross the bay this next time. So we appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
Vince Allegri, Allegri Farm Market, and that's what's on the farm this week. You'll find Allegri Farm Market in Daphne. Like you said, intersection of 181, County Road 64 in Daphne. It's about 4 miles south of I-10 at exit 38.
Yeah, that's one of those intersections on 181 that doesn't look anything like it looked 8, 10 years ago. You know, there's like a quiet little spot in the mm-hmm. road, and no longer the case. And Daphne and Fairhope. 10 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. You got the retirees chiming in mm-hmm. here this morning after your story at the end of last hour.
Yeah, so this story, they did a study, and I guess they tested people's hair for the stress hormone cortisol. They also kind of polled them along the side of it, and for all the people who said they hate Mondays, that checked out, I guess, with higher cortisol in their hair on those days. But they said what was really strange is it was even in retired people that still were stressing out about Mondays. And I just, that doesn't sound right to me. I don't know. But this texter said the great part of being retired is you don't know what day it is.
So, well, yeah, that's pretty great.
Larry in Atmore said, I think they're confusing weekend hangover with depression. So, yeah, maybe you just get so much done while everyone's off, and while you have events over the weekend, then once Monday rolls around, you're kind of just, I don't know.
Well, you know, not being retired, but being of age, where if that was, you know, if I wish to, I guess. Here's the thing that keeps me on calendar or aware of what day it is, mm-hmm. and that would be when you're older, doctor's appointments.
Oh, no,
you have doctor's appointments, and that's one thing that you have to kind of, you know, you can't just fall asleep at the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get to those doctor's appointments at the right day and time.
Yeah, I'm usually the one who schedules things that come up, you know, whether it's pest control or it doesn't matter what it is, but I'm the one who schedules it. And then when it comes up, I'm like, or doctor's appointments, I go, golly, I really don't want to go do that. It couldn't be at a worse time. Well, I'm the one who schedules it. So there you go.
Yeah.
Texture said, I'm retired. I love Mondays. My wife goes back to work.
Now, Texture, are those two things related? Or is that just coincident that she's going to work on Monday?
I believe those are awfully closely related.
Yeah.
Cindy says, that just shows how stupid some studies are. Now that I'm retired, I don't even know what day it is. It's a wonderful, freeing feeling. Plus, I have more time to listen to FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you, Cindy.
We're glad, Cindy, that you get to listen to us more now that you're retired. And it is Monday, by the way. Bill says, Mondays are no problem for this retiree. Glad I'm not participating in the morning rush. And this texter, good Monday. And I don't know if you're a retiree. Looks like it. Look forward to listening to 106.5. Prayer, long, fast walk. One cup of coffee, not in this order necessary, then get busy on the list of things to do.
Good. And, you know, that's the thing that retiree can do that I can't do during the week, but I love doing it on the weekends, that get that walk in early, especially mm-hmm. this time of year. It's, you know, look, it's so hot. And it's so humid, and it's not safe, really, to be honest with you. I like getting out there as, 6 in the morning and getting it done by a little after 7, get my 3-4 miles in. Certainly I'm sweating, but not to the dangerous level that you get in the middle of the day.
Yeah, and you're kind of forced into that a little bit because of the morning show.
Schedule.
You get out,
yeah.
And it's already the middle of the day by the time you can get out of the office. But I think we have an easy fix for that. We just need to bring a treadmill in. Put it right where you're sitting right now, and then now everybody listening might hear. But you can walk while you do the show.
They would hear a lot out of me, a lot of gasping. No need for all that.
Keep those texts coming. 251-343-0106. A lot to get into from this weekend as well. I don't think this Epstein thing is going to go away anytime soon for the Trump administration. We can dive into that a little further as well. And I think it's interesting. A lot of folks are expecting this to happen, but I think it was Mike Kaysen with AL.com. I've heard Jeff Poor talk about it quite a bit, actually more than anyone else. But Congressman Barry Moore could possibly be announcing that he's running for Senate. He says he's going to make an announcement August 15th. That's what he posted on social media.
Yeah.
Join us for a big announcement on Friday, August 15th. Didn't say what the announcement would be. He told 1819 News a couple months ago that he was considering a run for the seat, which currently held by Tommy Tuberville, who is, of course, running for governor. Quote, my family and I are praying and asking the Lord to guide us in this decision. As we seek his guidance, we're listening to the people of Alabama and considering how we can best continue to serve this great state. You think God, I mean, it seems like a majority of his prayer requests come from politicians trying to decide what their next step is. Every single one of them. We're waiting for God to tell us.
That's kind of language that Barry Moore uses a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know if every politician would be the same, but he definitely evokes that into his campaign strategies.
And, you know, a lot of these politicians, I'm sure that, you know, they're Christian, they're praying, they're asking questions, but to me, maybe I'm wrong, seems to me like that's just an easy way to not answer the question a lot of the time.
He's got a lot to pay attention to because he's praying to God and seeing what God says, and then he's listening to the citizens of Alabama.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of voices in one man's head.
He was elected to the 2nd District in 2020, and then they completely redrew the lines. He ran for second district, but it was a new look, right? And was reelected, and that put Congressman Jerry Carl on the outs. So former Congressman Carl now, and well, he was the first district now. He went from being the second district to the congressman for the first district, and he won that race. And I don't know if that surprised many people. It was kind of surprising to me that he ran away with it in a way.
When he made the decision, remember, where he was going to go head to head against Carl, it was like, whoa,
wait. Yeah.
Jerry Carl, I think, was kind of surprised by that too, because he said, you know, Barry and I get along just fine. More, of course, more with the right leaning with national issues than Jerry Carl, who seemed to be somebody who was a little more fixated on local needs and doing your business up there to make sure that. And of course, when the districts change now, it'd really be Baldwin County rather than Mobile County. Are you satisfied with what Barry Moore has done to this point? Because it's, you know, you're the biggest part of his
constituency.
I think it's the most. That's the
most populous.
The most populated area of his constituency would be Baldwin County with the way it's growing. And so you'd be the ones with the answers of, do you think that he's doing a good job for you and representing you and your wants or not?
Yeah, and I guess a couple months ago, maybe a month ago, I was thinking, you know, I don't feel like we've seen either congressman very much down here. Barry Moore in one or Shamari Figures in two. And I know they've been around and they've held town halls. And I was ready to blast both of them on the air. But, of course, that day I did a little Google search and it's like, well, Shamari Figures was here last week and Barry Moore a couple weeks ago. But it just doesn't seem to me like you're getting as much I don't feel like we're hearing as much from them as we have from past representatives. And I don't know.
Well, Jerry Carl's a friend of the station, right?
There's that.
So Jerry Carl was very much front and center in our mind, in the minds of our listeners, because he used this radio station as his kind of mouthpiece, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like Barry Moore and I like a lot of his politics, but it does seem like he's focused on more federal issues than local issues that he can take to D.C. And that, yeah, I'm sure he's doing some things and bringing some pork back to the area. But I did a little search here. I said, how many times and where has Barry Moore visited constituents in his home congressional district over the last 3 months? So this was just a search. Used a little AI here. So let me know if you actually went to any of these events. It said back in April, he was at the South Baldwin Chamber of Commerce, spoke at a private luncheon hosted by the chamber, meeting with local leaders and constituents amid public protests. That was from an AL.com article. In May, it says he hosted a town hall. It's not sure where this town hall was, with his constituent advocates to discuss office services and federal assistance, directly engaging with attendees. Now, May 17th, he was at the Battleship Memorial Park for Armed Forces Day. He gave a speech there and honored service members. And, of course, you had a lot of folks from the district who were able to make it out there. And I guess coming up at the beginning of next month, it looks like July 8th, he's set to hold an event on Dauphin Island, a public assistance event offering help with federal agencies, passports, veterans affairs, and other constituent issues. I don't. Maybe he would make a good senator. I think he's doing a serviceable job as congressman, and I'm sure many of you are upset that I'm not more fired up about Barry Moore holding that seat currently, but this isn't going to be an easy race either, necessarily.
No, because he's going against the attorney general, and you can say what you want about how aware we all are of Alabama politics, but the fact is that the attorney general, he's won statewide office twice. Mm-hmm. This is a statewide election for U.S. Senate, and so, you know, the fact that people know the name, and he's won twice, so they probably know the name with some positive vibes around the state, whereas Barry Moore simply is known in Enterprise and a little bit to this side of the state as well, along the coastline around I-10. Other than that, what would any Alabamians know about Barry Moore?
That's a good, because we always see these politicians who come from our part of the state, southern part of the state, and you just assume they'll have the same kind of name recognition elsewhere, and that's not the case.
You got to hustle.
A lot of times, these names from Huntsville, and
when you know what I've noticed here in the elections that we've watched, Dalton, when you see these people suddenly throw themselves into the statewide election, it is a whole different ball game, and you've got to commit to the travel and to meeting people. Sorrell did that brilliantly. It's a matter of hustle, you
yeah.
know? And he doesn't mind traveling. He did it well, and he did a really good job of it. And now he is, albeit not the most exciting position out there, but he's got a statewide platform now mm-hmm. that if he's to run, you know, moving forward for something other than Utter, he's got a leg up.
And there's really no better blueprint, although she's not from the southern part of the state, but really came in with no name recognition. She did get a lot of help from others, but Katie Britt, yeah. I think her blueprint for coming in and making herself known, you can't beat that.
Not far from where Barry Moore is from, right? She's from the Wiregrass, I believe. Mm. So, and since then, though, maybe her base was out of Montgomery with her being with the Business Council of Alabama.
Jared Hudson, another Republican running, former Navy SEAL, ran for Jefferson County Sheriff in 2022. As far as Democrats, you have Kyle Sweetser, business owner, lifelong Alabama Republican. He's from down here, I believe. I might be wrong on that. Spoke at last summer's Democratic National Convention. He's one of those, that party just doesn't align with my values anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm a Democrat now.
Yeah.
Dakari Lariat out of Birmingham, a business owner, running for Democrat, running on the Democrat side for Senate. And Mark Wheeler of Heflin, Jacksonville State University grad, and chemist who works for a wire manufacturing company. It's been a while since we've had a chemist. Chemist Center.
Yeah.
Making those little volcano explosions up there in D.C. I don't know.
823, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, back to the text line. And, or if you'd like to call, 251-343-0106. From Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 827, the nappy winning Mobile Mornings. Thank you for listening this morning.
Let's run through some texts. Michael says, you don't see much out of Figures because he's not really from our district. He lives in D.C. and has for over a decade. Texter here says,
I think he's moved back, you know, technically.
This texter says, definitely not hearing from Barry as much since the election. Texter, Barry Moore is by far a better, this is Greg out of Orange Beach, thank you Greg. Barry Moore is by far a better conservative than Jerry Carl. Jerry Carl advocated for the gas tax. We helped him in Baldwin County and we'll help again. Talking about Barry Moore. On the retiree conversation we're also having, Chris says, hey Dalton, I've been retired for a few years. It took me at least one full year to get over the Sunday afternoon, oh God, what have I got to do on Monday? I just couldn't get it out of my head Sunday afternoon.
Wow, how about that?
Most. I guess it does. Yeah. It's ingrained for a while, but Chris said you'll get over it after about a year. All right, and this texter, I'm not real sure which politician you guys were talking about when I got in the vehicle, but y'all are mocking a man for trying to hear from God for direction. That is not good. I don't know how it all may be political, but that's not up to me or anyone else to judge him. Who knows? It could be just like everyone wins the game, receives the award, and wants to thank God, but lives like a hellion the rest of their life. I don't know. I would be careful. If he's not sincere, that's between him and God. It doesn't matter what people do. There's always someone waiting to take a shot. Now, I'm just saying that, and I'm not mocking anyone for praying or asking God for guidance.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that any time that a politician is potentially running for a new office, the answer every time when they don't want to answer the question is, we're waiting for God to tell us. That's just you know, what I see. And it just seems like kind of a easy way to work around, well, are you running or not? You know? That was no shade towards anyone who prays or asks God for guidance. It's just you see it every single time.
Politicians,
look through everyone who's potentially running for a new office. That's what they say. And then, you know, do you feel that they keep that up while they're actually in office, when they're not running for office? Do you hear them say, you know, I'm asking God on guidance on how to vote on this bill? I don't know. I don't see that as much, but I do see it when they're running for office.
Yeah, and you see it from certain politicians rather than others. You see it from, I don't know. It with Barry Moore, that's something that he is, you know, when he's speaking, he's on with Jeff a good bit, or was for a while, and that's something that he would lace into his commentary was that he was praying about something. And often it was matters that are right-wing centric, I guess you would say, at least the answers that he's looking for, situations that are of national scope, be it, you know, transgenderism, transgender boys and women's sports, things like that. But he often talks about looking for guidance from the Lord.
I was looking for a lot of guidance from the Lord about 2 hours ago when our equipment completely shut down while we were doing a show.
That was, I hope it never happens again, because I almost lost Dalton to a stroke. 8:30 on Epic Talk 106.5. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, coming up on 8:35 on this Monday morning. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, man, we're great. It's going to be a really, really hot start to the week, and then quite a bit of rain in the forecast later in the week. Good news for folks who are heading out to buy a new or great pre-owned vehicle. You have vehicles that have both incredible air conditioning and they're great in the rain. Let folks know what you have out there.
That's right. We've got, first off, I want to thank everybody for coming in Saturday. Man, what a day. We got some great trades, sold a bunch of cars. Got, the rodeo, as you said, it's going to be raining, this looks like, this weekend. Got the rodeo coming up. Looking for a truck to pull that fine boat you got. We got the fine trucks. McConnellAutomotive.com. You can check us out on the website. Plenty of vehicles, plenty of used, plenty of GM certifieds. And like I said, we traded in a bunch of cars this weekend. We'll try to have those out on the website today. And got Mike here taking pictures right now. And like I said, if you ever want to get rid of your car, just don't want to need to buy one, just got one in your driveway you need to sell, give us a call, 251-476-4141. Give us a VIN and the miles. We'll give you a price right over the phone.
Yeah, you make it really, really easy. That's for sure. We appreciate your time today, Louis. Have a great week.
Hey, thank y'all. Be careful out there.
All right. That's Louis Arata. Go see him. McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
836, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. We'll get to some of the texts here in a moment. Right now, James on the line. Good morning, James.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Doing great.
James, are you retired?
Yes.
Do you hate Mondays? Do you hate Mondays, even though you're retired?
I was fixing to say, here we are starting the week out with some controversial things right off the bat. Good thing, right after the weekend and everything, so we had such a good weekend, even though it was 115 in shade.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I want to say this, that, this is, this immigration thing with people working to farmland. I want you to write this down. Hospitality was a company that would put people that come over. I think they gave them a card, but they worked at McDonald's and everything else. I don't know what's happened to that program. I knew a girl named Milagros that actually met a guy, and she decided to stay. She had to pay upwards of $4,000 or $5,000 to get legal. Okay, let's go back to the farm problem. It is hard to get Europeans, and I'm going to put it like that, to go and work in the sun. It doesn't matter what it is, because, when you work at shipyards and other places, you have a tendency to find a place. You get out of the direct sun. You have blowers blowing on you. But when you get out in the fields, there is nothing to protect you. Dolphin Island Parkway has always had people come in from other countries, I'm going to put it like that, and work at the nursery over there. They have trailers. They house them. Now, maybe there's a question of, this thing where they no taxes are, acquired or taken or whatever, and they try to pay them straight across the board. But and these are things some did, some didn't, I know for a fact. But I've actually worked in my earlier years at the nursery, and I know what I'm talking about as far as having what we might say illegals or Hispanic people come over and work. Very good workers. Everybody knows they're very good workers. They start at an early age, like 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, doing carpenter work. It's a second nature to them to do carpenter work. And this is what's happening. This is not something new. And it's amazing, now Trump's saying we might let a few because they're complaining they don't have people to work. They're correct. Most Americans want to try to get a job. It's considered like a skill job and with a higher pay. And these jobs have a tendency to be less than that. But, it's just, it's hard to find people, younger people, that would go out and work in these fields, oranges, tomatoes, whatever it is.
Yeah, I got you. Thanks for the call, James. I agree. I mean, there's a problem finding the American workforce if it in fact is there at that pay rate.
Well, it's really tough to get people who aren't working but are receiving a lot of government subsidies. Of course, they don't want to leave their living room to go out and work fields. But I think that, again, because of the politics, this is all becoming a lot more complicated than it should be. You know, you can have, and there is plenty of legal immigrant workers. And the line between those two have become so frayed, or the line between legal and illegal workers, a lot of people talk about all Mexicans as if they're all illegal,
mm-hmm.
that are working on farms and in hotels or in construction sites. And that's not the case, not in any way the case. There are plenty of legal migrant workers. I mean, at the beach, you have so many people that come down in the summer months, spring and summer. There's just not enough of a workforce already there to satisfy it all.
Yeah.
To work the restaurants and all these places. So, and for many years, and I'm sure many have been skirting the law as well, or a few at least, but there are legal pathways to bring in workers who pay taxes and do things the right way. The issue to me are all the people who are completely skirting the actual legal rules or finding loopholes so that they can pay workers less, but also have those workers be able to pay them less because American taxpayers are subsidizing the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's just unfair to everybody, including legal migrant workers who are coming over and doing it the right way. It's pretty clear cut to me. If you're legal, you need to be gone.
Illegal.
If you're illegal, you need to be gone,
uh-huh.
and do it the right way. If you're legal, great. That's awesome. How is this so hard?
It is hard politically for Trump. He's squashed in the middle of a few things right now, isn't he?
I'd say so. It might be an understatement.
Yeah. Epstein, the illegals. But somehow he wakes up in the morning and, God love him, there's a smile on his face. I don't know how.
Did you see him celebrating with Chelsea, the soccer team, yesterday?
Yeah. Yes. By the way, J.P. Morgan, their Chase CEO, Jamie Dimon, I was wondering about this. These big finance guys in New York City, are they going to sit there and watch this whole city that they love go down the toilet with Mamdani? Donnie. And so he says, he spoke out about Zoran Mamdani, and he said he's more of a Marxist than a socialist, and he also urged voters not to support him. Who did you say is helping Mamdani?
Oh, the great politician Bill de Blasio, now advising Mamdani.
Oh, from the pizza-eating contest. And did he drop a groundhog and kill it?
He dropped and killed a groundhog on Groundhog Day, that's right.
He's more of a Marxist than a socialist, Dimon was saying about Mamdani. And he also said that Democrats have big hearts but little brains.
Dimon said this.
Yeah, yeah. And here's, so you can cross the nation to the other coast and you can see evidence of that. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, you see what she announced now on Friday now?
I'm afraid. What?
The city is going to be giving cash to families affected by immigration and customs enforcement of those raids as part of an effort to protect immigrant communities. So illegal immigrants are now going to be getting cash from the city of Los Angeles.
Wow. So taxpayers in LA.
Taxpayers. So you have neighborhoods that are gone, probably never to be seen again from the fires. And you have these protesters that, of course, raised so much hell that, and you have the rate of homelessness on the streets, and LA is just kind of bubbling up with money.
Mm.
They've got enough money to hand it out to not just people who are down and out, but people who are illegals.
Mm.
So they don't have to leave their wherever they're staying and be exposed to ICE.
Wow. That's,
is that amazing?
That's wild. Let's try to hit some text. We'll have Lacey Smith with Tobias and Comer Law in with us on the next segment. We're in the Bible Belt. It's not uncommon for people to pray and seek God's wisdom over major decisions. Folks in non-Bible Belt areas tend to look at their wallet to determine which they should pursue their political careers. James says Americans are not going to work those fields even with competitive wages. I disagree with you, James. Unfortunately, you're correct. People use prayer, the prayer line, more as a crutch religion that is than a lifestyle. Younger people are working at being the next YouTube star. Now, that's true. And quite a few more texts I wish we could get to. But coming up next, Lacey Smith with Tobias Cumber Law joins us in studio. And welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Monday. And so good to welcome Lacey Smith with Tobias and Comer Law for another edition of Law 251 into our fair studio here. Good morning, Lacey. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a hot one, but what's new? That's summer, summer in South Alabama for you. And that means we're trying to, I don't think I'm alone in trying to get out on the water in some form or fashion, whether it's the Gulf, whether it's a pool, or, you know, make your own water in your backyard and try to keep the kids occupied at the same time. So I know a lot of people are in the same boat that I am every single spring and summer down here in the South.
Right. We've been spending a lot of time at the pool ourselves. It is miserable out there, as it always is during the summer. Mm-hmm. So the best way to cool off is to find some water, whether it's Dog River or the beach or the bay, or even your local pool.
That's right. And it's always, you hope you have a good time and you hope the kids have a good time. But I know we've all been in certain situations where things could go south quickly, and some, and even worse situations where something happens while you're out there on the water. And we see too many stories where children either left unattended for any amount of time, or just from reasons that a parent can't get there in time to help them out, or the parent goes under too. But drowning's far too common, and children getting saved out there in the water. And today we're going to talk about some tips and things you need to know if you are going out, just to stay safe with the children you're with, right?
Right. I think growing up on the water like we do here in Mobile, sometimes we can get a little comfortable or take things for granted. But drownings are the leading cause of death for children ages 1 through 4. And getting ready to talk to you, I ran across something that was interesting to me, or not interesting so much as sad, but a stat said that over 80% of those drownings happen while an adult is present. Hmm. You know, we all, I think there's more awareness of what drowning actually looks like now, but, you know, watching movies, you're used to a bunch of splashing and drama and noise. And we know that drowning is really not like that. Usually it's quiet. It's often quicker than we think. And tragically, it causes about 4,000 deaths per year among all age groups. So, you know, we are primarily going to be talking about children, but we want adults to be responsible for themselves as well. And there's some basic safety tips for adults as well, but primarily going to watch out for the little ones in the pool.
Yeah, that's a wild statistic and really sad. And many, I'd say probably most, are preventable. But it's not easy to tell that to someone who's been through something like that. I guess the first tip would be to try to learn how to swim, right? As an adult, if you're going to take children out there and try to get them lessons as well, that's probably a pretty good place to start, wouldn't you say?
Right. Just basic swimming skills is something that you certainly want to have for your children if they're going to be in the water for any length of time. You know, there's a wealth of resources in Mobile for swimming lessons. But, you know, even if they're not doing the backstroke or, you know, perfect freestyle, just some of the basic water survival skills that you want to make sure they know are floating on their back when they get tired, or being able to effectively tread water and keep their head up above the surface is a critical life-saving skill in the pool. So, step number one is to always make sure your children can swim. But, you know, we don't want to get too comfortable once they do have those skills.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. And they could maybe be overconfident in their own skills. Same right. For adults. And we just had a story not that long ago. A dad had to jump off a cruise ship to save his daughter, tread water for 20 minutes until they were right. able to get help. I don't know how many people can tread water with a child in their arms for 20 minutes. So that's outstanding. But just having those basic skills, you're not always going to have a lifeguard around. And we know that with are large bodies of water, or even some places at the beach. People come down and they think that, oh, there's just going to be a lifeguard out mm-hmm. there. But depending on where you are, if it's private property or whatever, there might not be. So like so many things, you kind of have to take it into your own hands and make sure that my family is going to be safe and we're going to leave here together no matter what. Right. And those are some fantastic tips for that. Rip currents, another thing we talk about. I know people are always concerned about the wildlife. They're concerned about the sharks, jellyfish, mm-hmm. but rip currents are the killer when you get out there in the Gulf.
Right. I think just across the board, one tip for swimming in open water, whether it's the river or at the beach, is you want to have a heightened awareness, both of yourself and your surroundings. So certainly if you've got little ones out there enjoying the surf, you want to be even more vigilant than you would in a pool. For one thing, whether it's at the Gulf or again at the bay in particular or the river, that water is murkier and you can't see what's going on underneath the surface. So you want to make sure that your proximity to your children in those kind of situations is even closer. But so yeah, when it comes to rip currents, again, that's something that a lot of us who are raised on the Gulf Coast kind of are brought up knowing about, but that's just a stream of water that actually is going to carry you away from the shore as opposed to the waves carrying you in. And the major danger with that is that, you know, your instinct is to try to get to land if you are starting to struggle to swim. But if you do so in a rip current, it's almost like swimming on a treadmill. So you're going to be fighting against this very strong current that can drag even the strongest swimmers out into deeper waters. And that's the real danger with those.
And well, I mean, we've seen professional athletes down here on our beaches go out and try to save their children mm-hmm. or themselves get caught. Usually they're out trying to save someone. So anyone who just comes down, if they're not familiar with rip currents, but they think they're a pretty good swimmer, that can get you. And that one surprise could be it if you don't know how to go about it. And I really think our beaches have done a stellar job, mm-hmm. especially these last few years. I don't know if you can go on an elevator or walk down a boardwalk on the coast and not see facts about rip currents now. Right. I think they even have billboards as you head down there to let people know.
Right. And, you know, those little tiny reminders are good. You know, I get in a bad habit of lecturing my children about certain things, whether it's swimming safety or just behavior or whatnot. But the experts say that these little small talks are the best way to help information like that sink in. So yeah, I mean, just pointing those out to your children. I think I've seen those markers as well. I mean, the signs will tell you how to recognize a rip current, what to do if you're caught in one. You know, for those who don't know, a rip current, they can be really hard to spot, which is the other danger of them, mm-hmm. but they're often where the waves are breaking, but a rip current, instead of it'll be like waves breaking and then it'll just be one kind of calm lane of water. So that's what you want to avoid. But, you know, just have those reminder talks with your kids. You know, if you're trying to swim towards the shore and you can't get there, if you feel like you're caught in rip current, start swimming parallel to the shore, you know, swim left to right, not forward. Mm-hmm. And usually you can, once you get out of the rip current, you can start swimming forward again and find safety.
Talking with Lacey Smith with Tobias and Comer Law for another edition of Law 251 here on Mobile Mornings. Let's also talk about some things you need to know if things go wrong. And it's embarrassing. It's hypocritical that I bring it up. And maybe someone's listening today that gives lessons like CPR, applying tourniquets for other kinds of, there's all these things where I'm like, I would be ready if something happened to my family. If one of them went underwater and I was able to, we were able to get them out, I could be able to do CPR. But that's something that you have to practice mm-hmm. once you learn how. And I would hate for someone out there, and I'm talking to myself right now, to have something like this happen to a child of yours or a child that's around, and no one be able to save their life with some things you could probably pretty easily learn just by taking a class and practicing every now and then, like CPR.
Right. I think the American Red Cross and other organizations offer CPR courses. You know, a lot of kids, teenagers are starting to babysit in the summer. That's a good summer job. And you can always ask if your babysitter is CPR certified, but I think a lot of babysitting courses teach that life-saving skill. But you know, this is 2025. You can probably go on YouTube and find something that you just need to brush up on it. Just make sure that you know just the basic steps of chest compressions and mouth to mouth if necessary. But, you know, the Red Cross is a great resource for things like that. But you just want to make sure you're informed and that you can perform should the worst case scenario play out.
I think I just got a great idea. I think we need a CPR dummy for the station here. We just need it. It can be a guest every now and then, but really when us here at the station need to polish our skills, we'll break out the CPR dummy and give it a try. This podcast that we're doing now, Law 251. This will go up on TobiasComerLaw.com along with so much other information that you guys have up there. And we talk often these months about being out on the water and being safe. You know, we had our boating safety talk not that long ago, and this too. All of that information at Tobias and Comer Law, they can find it there. They can print little cheat sheets off, and sure, it's fantastic. But they can also get in touch with you guys through the site.
Yeah, we try to make sure our website, which is available 24/7, is a good source of information. So we have water safety tips, boating safety tips. Another aspect of water safety is making sure any products you are using are safe. You know, everybody's familiar with the puddle jumpers or life jackets or things like that. And sometimes those items that are supposed to save your life are subject to a recall because they're defective in some way. So I think we've got a link to the CPSC website where you can check for things like that as well. And yeah, we've got all sorts of checklists. We've got videos. It's kind of like a library of information for safety and also just legal resources.
Also, speaking of resources, I know there's somebody out there who they may have an injury case. They're not sure. Maybe they're shy. They've never been through something like this before. It's real easy to get you guys on the line and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. What do you think? What would be your next course of action? That phone number, 251-432-5001. It's really that easy, right? They can dial it and talk with you guys and see where they stand.
Right. We are a local firm with four lawyers, and we pride ourselves on being small and paying attention to our clients and giving them the personal time they deserve. So, yes, you can call our office even after office hours. We've got a messaging system. And we will return your call. But if you make that local call, we're going to be the lawyers on the case, and we're going to be the ones to put the boots on the ground and help you out with that.
I love it. You guys are local. I tell that everyone. I say, hey, if you got something, got a question, they're around. Mm-hmm. You'll find them. Lacey, appreciate you so much for coming in with us today, and always enjoy it.
Thank you.
That's Lacey Smith with Tobias and Comer Law and another edition of Law 251. Again, you'll check this out. It'll be on our podcast page and at Tobias and Comer. TobiasComerLaw.com. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show. That does it for this edition of Mobile Mornings. Y'all have a good one.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services above.